I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That weekly Tomlin interview would not be as fun.
I'm going Crowley. He's going Whaley. You know the answer.
Okay, one more before I give you the answer. You think Crowley, who is so making sure he knows which way the wind is blowing among fans to the point where he hated the Mike Williams trade.
Till it happened.
Hypothetical. Then it happened, and then he had to say the next day, I actually changed my mind on this. I now like the trade.
You know, maybe it wasn't him.
You are saying
no. You know what?
I'm changing
my opinion here.
Who would go
why?
On the air and say in Pittsburgh, Lamar Jackson will slice and dice them?
No,
it's supposed to be a fun morning show, not one that gave everybody the blues.
I'm going to change my opinion here. If it was Crowley or it was Whaley or it was Doran or anybody on this station, one of our loyal listeners would have jumped into our mentions already to tell us.
Okay.
That it was. We've got somebody guessing it was Crowley. Somebody like Jason in Slippery Rock would have said, as the ombudsman, Crowley said this at 9:22
in
36 seconds. Yeah. So I've got to guess differently. Pittsburgh sports media person.
We have a texter saying Kabali would say something like this. I don't agree with that.
No, Kabali would take whatever the public sentiment is and just immediately swim against it.
Well, isn't the public sentiment that the Steelers are a Super Bowl contender and they always beat the Ravens?
No, I think there's enough people that actually think like Baltimore's the better team and the Steelers have to prove that they're on their level that Kabali can't quite thread that needle.
Whaley will throw a hot take out there. I think that's why Donnie might be onto something. You want to join him on the Whaley brigade?
No, again, same bit when it comes to Whaley. Somebody would have just told us that this is going to...
Could
you
see Austin Bechtold trying to make a name for himself and saying Lamar Jackson will slice and dice...
Here's a question. Austin's hosted some weekend shows here at The Fan. Do you count him as a Pittsburgh sports media member yet?
I do. Yep.
Well, you know what? I have to count him as such because his take on respect has like driven us through 2.5 shows or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say
actually
that
1.5, but that's okay.
1.5, sure. I'm gonna go off the board here just for fun. I am going to say the person who said this.
Pomp?
Is Jason Mackey.
No, come on, Mackey. You read Mackey's columns.
I don't really know if he's going to slice him and dice him.
Mackey,
maybe he'll vivisect him.
Mackey will write a scathing column in like reviewing a bad performance. He has not been to this point a preemptive
bad performance guy.
A preemptive guy that's
going to
crush them before it actually happens.
I mean, Starkey's the kind of guy that I could see writing it.
But that he'd write the column.
And then he'd immediately
he'd
make the whole
the show
on it.
He does a brilliant job of that.
Yeah, that's not a bad strategy.
But we have not seen the Starkey column pop up
He
yet.
Wrote one about...
Unless he's got one in reserve that's waiting for
no,
later
he wrote one
week.
About Watt and Jackson and how even if they don't win Super Bowls, they're all-time greats in the NFL.
Okay. Lamar Jackson will slice and dice them.
And this is a Pittsburgh sports insider.
I didn't say insider. I said media. I said member of the sports media.
Dulac wouldn't say it because he wouldn't give away his pick yet.
And he's on the Steelers' payroll.
Jerry, I think, would say if he really thought that was going to happen, but he rarely ever thinks that's going to happen.
Because he's anti-Lamar Jackson like me.
All right, I'm going to go for it here then. Final answer. You ready for this one, Donnie?
Drum roll.
Dude, I think Lamar is going to slice him and dice him.
Richie!
Richie Walsh. That is my final
that's
answer.
That's a great
Richie
guess.
Richie Walsh.
Richie went with Washington. When the picks popped up on the screen before the game Sunday, Pomp Steelers, Batch Steelers, Dulac Steelers, Richie the lone wolf on the Commanders, it didn't go his way. But at least you know he's not just always drinking company punch in the Kool-Aid before every
game.
Well,
that's my official prediction.
Malzy, when you were taking tests and people were giving you strategies for test taking,
mm-hmm.
what would they always say rule number one is?
Go with your first answer.
Yes. Your first answer was right. It's Adam Crowley.
Where the hell were our listeners on X, formerly known as Twitter, telling me that Crowley said this?
Lamar Jackson will slice and dice them. It's one thing. Hey, I know I'm way out, not out on a limb, but I think the Steelers are going to win this game because they always beat Lamar Jackson. Okay, so I don't think that if you were to say, though, that the Ravens are going to win a very close game. I don't think that that would like be cause for, well, this guy's a a-hole. How dare he go on Pittsburgh sports radio and say he thinks that the Ravens are going to win the game. But
you say they're going to get sliced and diced by a guy that has a career 66.8 passer rating against them and that they're going to get stomped.
What are the grounds for slicing and dicing? That Joey Porter Jr. stinks? Minka Fitzpatrick is overrated?
The score
Jackson blows? Deontay Johnson's going to have the game of his life?
Slicing and dicing is like 38-14. Slice, dice, not so nice.
Slice, when I think slice, dice, I think passing and running. He's doing it all. He's slicing and dicing. He's
passing.
Not just slicing.
He's running. He's slicing. He's dicing.
He's never run on him. He's never been an effective runner on them.
70 yards, the most rushing yards he's had in a game against them.
Yeah. So we've got one person a few days out saying not only are the Steelers going to lose to the Ravens, but it's going to be, I guess, a performance for the ages.
It's going to sober up Jackson. It's going to sober up some Steelers fans who are getting pretty high on hopium, and it's going to...
No, we're not high on hopium. We're watching them.
I think they're a good football team, but it's gonna firmly put them in a level below Baltimore.
Hopium
is
when I look at that and think your team has gotten by through smoke and mirrors.
So last year's Steelers.
Fair. Or the last few Steelers teams.
Fair.
And you're trying to hoodwink yourself or bamboozle yourself into thinking they're actually good.
This team thinks they're going to get a bit of a reality check on where they stand in the AFC pecking order.
There you go. If he comes into our house and has this type of game, then you would have to probably think the same thing or close to it is going to happen in Baltimore. They're much better there. They blasted the Bills there. They curb stomped the Bills there. They mutilated them. It was
they
a
massacre.
They
also lost to the Raiders there, though.
I know, but fair. Fair. But, I mean, are the Steelers more like the Bills or more like the Raiders?
Steelers are more like the Bills.
Right.
No, two of their three losses are on the road this year.
Your midweek take on this game, where are you leaning right now?
The only thing I'm not
holding you to this prediction.
Sure.
This is not set in stone.
I do think Lamar's going to have his best game that he's had against the Steelers, which is not necessarily saying a ton because he really has not had a good game. He's not had a game where he took over the game and was the reason the Ravens won the game.
He can play average and it could be his best game against the Steelers.
I think he'll have an above average game. I think what my crystal ball is still like, I shake it up and the magic eight ball
maybe. Rub that bald head and see if you can see any
premonitions. I got like a
eighth
of an inch of hair on my head today. The one thing I don't know yet that I don't feel like I have a good handle on is, are the Steelers going to actually treat the Ravens secondary like it's the worst one in the league? Are we going to see this team manage to get big shots downfield regularly?
Why wouldn't they? Come on.
Sometimes when these games happen and there's an obvious storyline where it's the Steelers should be able to throw the ball deep and should be able to throw the ball successfully on the Ravens, sometimes it doesn't always come to pass.
So you think that gets
way
back to Tomlin's zigging and zagging thing?
No, I don't think it's zigging and zagging. It's like they might try to do it and the Ravens just might do a much better job.
Okay, so
no Kyle Hamilton would be huge for the Steelers in this
game.
We'll
get an update there later in the show. So midweek, where are you leaning on this game? Again, you're not being held to this. It's not a final prediction or answer. You're going to be allowed to
change your Ravens mind. Not even Steelers to cover but not win, which by the way,
trusting Justin Tucker is a dangerous right now.
We were 1 inch of Zach Ertz like getting the ball over the line from that possibly being exactly right last week. Because what did I say? Steelers would probably do the rare cover 2.5 and lose by like a point. I think I said 26-24, 24-23. Boys, we weren't far. We were not far
so you're,
from 30-28.
Give yourself credit for something that actually didn't happen. And can
correct.
You tell me then ultimately how you're leaning on this game
Ravens by about a field goal, like right about what the number is.
And are you co-signing the slicing and dicing?
No, I think he'll have his best game against the Steelers. I don't think he'll just absolutely take over the game and make it.
Donnie,
like,
where
a
are
farce.
You right now on this game midweek?
I'm expecting a shootout. So I think he could get away with
the slicing and dicing.
Slicing and dicing, but that defense is going to get sliced and diced maybe just as well.
Now, did you share this with Landon Roberts last night? You did.
What did he say?
He said, hey, E, I think this is going to take tooth chipper. I think you're going to be needing some dentures by the time this game is over, brother.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, he always presses me now about how I think the game is going to go.
Okay.
And
so what was your official prediction? Unofficial prediction. Because you can change your mind. So what is it right now on the game?
34-31.
Who?
Steelers.
Pony, what's your midweek feeling? We will hold you to this, so whatever you say, I'm going to just not let it go. I'll be like a dog with a bone here.
I think it's going to be one of the greatest days in Acrisure Stadium history.
Oh, no. Oh,
I think
no.
I think they're holding the Ravens under 20 points, and I think it's... I think everybody is going to show up to their place of employment Monday. They might even call off. They're so ecstatic about what's going on here. That's just my Wednesday feel.
He thinks the Ravens are going to win.
No, I don't.
Yeah, he does. He thinks they're going to win.
Everything I've said about both teams, how could I possibly say that the Ravens are going to win the game?
Just got a feeling. Donnie and I are not rookies here when it comes to deciphering your predictions and what you say sometimes. We're pretty studied veterans here.
So you have now flipped and say that when I make a prediction, I actually
think
mean
the opposite? Yeah.
A few days ago, when we got into this whole business of Kyle McCord, you said, actually, no, Pony does believe these things. He's just that bad at making predictions.
I think I probably said that to troll you.
No.
My concern is by saying it's going to be one of the greatest days in Acrisure Stadium history.
Hold on.
If you would have just said...
I think they're going to win. Like, it'll be a good game. I think it's going to win.
If they keep the Ravens under 20 points and they win the game by a touchdown, that is one of the great days in Acrisure Stadium history.
All right, is it a top 5 day in Acrisure Stadium history?
No. No, it wouldn't be because they've gone to Super Bowls by winning there and they've won multiple playoff games.
Would it be better than the Immaculate Extension?
No. No, it would not. It'd be a top 10 to 15 day there. If that happens.
The top 5 has to be the 2 AFC title game wins, the Browns comeback.
How about Ben's last game?
No.
What? Donnie cried at that game.
That might be in Donnie's top 5. Immaculate Extension's up there for me.
Yes. I mean, how about the divisional playoff against the Ravens?
They probably were also very good. Probably up there. That might be my 5.
I think people put, like myself, Ben, walking around the entire stadium, shaking everybody's hand, hugging his kids afterwards ahead.
Why couldn't they find him a horse like they had for Cal Ripken?
Or Wade Boggs.
Yeah, Wade Boggs got to ride a police.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's horse after the World Series.
All right, so this is what they're trying to do with Lamar. They're going to put a person at the dive, and they're going to run a person straight at Lamar, and they're going to make him make a decision. So that's their game plan. One person goes to Lamar, one person goes to the dive for the RPO, and that's going to be their game plan to slow him down a little bit. From what I said, maybe they change a little bit. I ain't been there in a while, but
and Lamar's changed as well.
Exactly. He can throw way better now. And he lost a little weight. When I was over there, he was a little fat man. Whoa. But now, you know, lost a little weight and running like his old self.
That is the guy once described by Mike Tomlin as the angry little man, Arthur Maulet.
Sounds pretty jolly, if I'm being honest.
On how the Steelers defend Lamar Jackson. Makes it sound simple, but if it were that easy, everybody would do it, and Lamar Jackson wouldn't have some of the best stats in the NFL this season. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider. Already a host on this station has declared victory for the Ravens and has said Lamar will slice and dice the Steelers on Sunday. Not holding you to predictions yet, but just what is your feeling on this game? Midweek, 412-928-9370. Are you afraid of a slicing and dicing? Do you think that Lamar is the guy that will come in here and be the reason for a Ravens win? Or maybe you're thinking Derrick Henry.
What quarterback did the most slicing and dicing in his career, would you say? Like, actually sliced and diced, just surgical. Not throwing.
Drew Brees is a slice and dicer.
Was Brady a slice dice guy?
Oh, he could be. Absolutely.
You know what Flacco has always been? He's taken a battle axe and he's swinging it wildly, and if he hits you 4 times, that's it.
And Joe Flacco's back on the bench, by the way.
Well, did you see him as the starter?
No bueno.
It was very ugly.
Here is John here to lead us off. Hello, John.
Hey,
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm really excited about the game. My wife and I will be there. We live in Oakland, Maryland, a little town called Swanton outside. But I think it's
Are you a Ravens fan or Steelers fan?
I'm a diehard Steelers fan. My hometown.
Isn't Oakland, Maryland, like close to Deep Creek?
Yes. Yeah, Deep Creek Lake. You got it, brother.
You ever been to the Honey Honey?
Oh, of course.
You have my God. That's Cougar Town, USA in that place. It's incredible.
Yeah, we're season ticket holders, and it's our first year to be season ticket holders. And
nice.
We'll be there. We actually think that Wilson's going to have a great game.
Who's we?
Defensive-wise.
He and his wife.
Oh, you guys agree?
Are you paying attention? You hear Oakland, you hear Deep Creek, and you just go immediately Honey Honey Bar and Cougar Land.
No, I am, but my wife and I don't always agree on things. I didn't know that they sat down and discussed it, and they came away with the same opinion on the game. That's all.
Yeah, we're diehard Steelers fans, but we think our history tells us that we can keep Lamar in check. We've done that historically, and I think Wilson's going to come out and have a great game and throw the ball downfield, and I think our defense will get a couple turnovers, and I think that'll be the deciding factor,
and
of course.
We know that Lamar Jackson, Mulsey likes to point to the drops last year, and that's an accurate statement. There were drops by Ravens wide receivers, but there was the back-breaking turnover to Joey Porter Jr. He has those moments more against the Steelers than he does any other NFL team. Just the what was he thinking on that play type
stuff.
It's
funny you mentioned Porter. I think that we heard Mollett say that Lamar's a better passer than he was. He is completing like 70% of his passes. I mean, the numbers are... Everyone's saying Joe Burrow's having an MVP caliber year and an all-time year. I think Lamar has two fewer interceptions, two fewer touchdown passes. Very similar yardage totals, so he's been putting up big numbers. I think they're going to go after Joey Porter.
All right, so there's an ebullient Steelers fan, number one. He and his wife, over pillow talk, discussed it, and thinking that Crowley's claim that they will be sliced and diced by Lamar Jackson, absolutely ridiculous. 412-928-9370. Here's another John. This one's in Highland Park. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. Just want to say, first and foremost, big fan. Thank you for the show every day.
You bet, man. Thank you.
Just want to say, Steelers have taken this. It's the onus is on Lamar to prove that he can beat us. Okay? Two-time MVP by now. Two-time MVP should have beaten the teams that we put out on this field by now. Two-time MVP should be able to take his team and win a Super Bowl by now. Completely overrated. I'm with Tony on that. You got to prove something to me. The
so
two-time MVP.
Who will have better numbers in this game, Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson. Lamar's got to prove it to me. And like I said, two-time MVP should have been able to do something against
He has
Steelers
won
right
two.
Now.
He hasn't.
Thank
it's
you,
not
John.
A good percentage. He's beaten the Steelers twice.
No, he's only beaten them once, technically.
Technically, 2-4 on the record.
No, but two of those games are with Flacco. So he's really 1-3.
I'm just telling you what the Football Reference official record is. 2-4, 1-3.
Okay, look up the number of games he started in against the Steelers.
He hasn't done the thing that John just said he still has to see to believe, which
just go off
lead them to a win where
right.
He is their best player.
Just as a starter, give me the other game that wasn't a Humphreys punching the ball out against Juju.
Give you the other game?
Yeah, that's the only game he's won as a starter against
them. 17-10 loss last year. With all the drops, 20-19 loss, the 2-point conversion.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the 26-23 win. Why do they have him at 2-4 and not 1-3?
Sometimes Pro Football Reference lies. I've discovered that, actually. All right, so the calls we took in this window are all against Crowley. And I don't do this purposefully. I'm not trying to get our listeners or our station or our fans, I don't want to make them anti-Crowley people. I don't want them.
You do.
No, I absolutely do not. No.
You love having Crowley there as a little bit of a punching bag.
Disagree. I want them, because we're all on the same team. I want him to do great. I want Starkey to do great. I want us to do great.
Well, they can still do great
I'm not going to bite the hand that feeds.
Throw little gentle shots his way.
No, because I don't want to say those things and then have our listeners think less of Crowley. So I just put this out there more as a conversation starter. It wasn't me calling Crowley a buffoon or anything like that.
A buffoon. No one calls anyone that anymore.
Buffoon?
Yeah, I feel like that's underutilized.
Well, let's bring it back. When you think of sports in general, who's the number one buffoon these days? I'm going to go Jerry Jones.
buffoon. When I think of it, it's like a bumbling idiot.
Yeah.
I don't think Mark Davis is exactly...
You think he's buffoon material?
I don't think he's beating the charges. You know who I think is kind of a buffoon?
What about Tepper?
Nick Sirianni. I think Nick Sirianni embodies buffoonery.
Buffoon? The guy all he's doing is winning, Malsy. He's won five in a row.
He's yelling at his own fans after a game. They all hate him and say he makes boneheaded in-game decisions, which he does.
Yeah, but those are Eagles fans, and they're out of their minds.
Very high standards in Philly.
You went Tepper, Don?
Yeah.
He's more of like a tyrant, bully type. Buffoon.
I don't know, Chris. He's really meddled and done some
Jimmy Haslam kind of
there.
A buffoon?
Kind of.
Big buffoon energy from Jimmy Haslam. How about Woody Johnson? You want to talk about a buffoon?
He's in the...
He might be in the Buffoon Hall of Fame.
He's an elite buffoon. 3:30. Get to Tom Fridays for juicy steaks, meats, and more. And that means it's time to talk to Mike Florio, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Before Steelers and Ravens, the best rivalry in the NFL. Screw Packers and Bears. I don't care that George Halas coached against Curly Lambeau 90 years ago. Mike, I want to ask you about the sausage before we start, how it gets made. Steelers and Ravens is a 1 o'clock game. You guys have Bengals Chargers. How does Steelers Ravens stay at 1 o'clock and, in my opinion, an inferior game gets into the primetime spot for this week? What's your theory on that? Or maybe you know the actual answer.
First of all, they don't tell me anything of any importance because they know I can't keep my mouth shut. But I will speculate on what happened. Mm-hmm. Originally, Colts-Jets was supposed to be the primetime game. It was flexed out for Bengals-Chargers. And under the current structure, the networks have the ability to kibosh one game a week. And it's entirely possible that I assume CBS has Ravens Steelers, but
they
you
also
never
have
know
Chiefs
with
100% Bills
certainty anymore. What's that?
They also have Chiefs Bills, so that would be the game they'd protect, right?
Yeah, I don't know why Ravens Steelers didn't make the move. If that's the case, again, they don't tell me, mm-hmm. and it's the NFL's call at the end of the day. All I know is, week and a half ago, Colts Jets out, Bengals Chargers in, Ravens Steelers would seem to make more sense. And you're right. If there's only one game you can protect per week, Chiefs Bills is the one that would be protected against being moved to prime time. But it should be. It feels like a game that should be later in the day. It's also possible. You know how Art Rooney feels about home games at night.
Not
and
a fan.
They've already been stuck with multiple home games at night this season. So to the extent that it was eligible to be moved, it's possible that, and I again, I'm just throwing this out there. It's possible Art Rooney said, come on, look at what you've done to us. You gave us a Christmas game. We got these two night games at home. But don't do it to us again.
Mike, who needs this game more? The Ravens just to pull a half game ahead, or the Steelers to maybe, I guess, legitimize themselves, for lack of a better term, among the NFL's true upper echelon?
I think the Ravens need it more just because they have too many lapses. They're too prone to lapses. They almost blew the game last Thursday night. They were down 14 before they finally woke up, and then they tried to blow it after they took the lead. When everything works well for the Ravens, they are unstoppable, but it doesn't line up just right often enough for the Ravens. So I think, you know, 7-4 for them feels like a massive disappointment. They need home field advantage in the postseason, I believe, and that's where they need to prove themselves anyway. They have to win in the postseason. That's been the narrative. It is for the Steelers too, but for the Steelers, there's at least something different this year that gives us hope they can win in the postseason. The Ravens are the same template they've been since 2019.
Mike, how should the national media properly rate Lamar Jackson when on one hand you have the two MVPs and maybe a third this year, but on the other hand you have he can't beat the Steelers, his arch rival. He stinks against, doesn't stink against the Chiefs, but he can't beat them, and his playoff stats are horrible.
I mean, I think that he's considered a top five guy. I think that's a fair way to rate him. I don't think it's fair to point out every time he has a great regular season game, get back to many wins in the playoffs. It's two different things. Regular season excellence needs to be recognized. Regular season excellence is what determines the MVP award. That's only based on regular season. And he was otherworldly last Thursday night against the Bengals. He was as good as I've ever seen him, running selectively, weaving through traffic like Patrick Mahomes does. He had that great run where he started the 10, he retreated past the 30, and then went back upfield and got down to the one. So he was throwing well. It feels like everything's slowing down around him. He's up there with Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow in no particular order. But, yeah, the knock is always going to be he can't win in the postseason. Well, one of the reasons he's having trouble winning the postseason, he's got to deal with Patrick Mahomes. And I know Patrick Mahomes isn't the one that beat him in 2019 when he was the one seed, but Josh Allen is having trouble in the postseason because of Patrick Mahomes. Joe Burrow beat Patrick Mahomes, but the rest of the quarterbacks in the AFC can't really claim that they're juggernauts in the postseason because the Chiefs are a team that the others inevitably have to deal with if they want to get to the Super Bowl.
Independent, though, of like whether they can get a team win against the Chiefs, like I would look at those other guys, Burrow and Allen. Burrow's done it. But I'd look at Allen and say they've played monster games in the playoffs statistically. Jackson has what I would call one of those where his passer rating was above 80. So
Tennessee?
I would ask, no, Houston last year.
Okay.
I would ask this question. Why does he, forget about what his team does, Mike. Why do you think individually his numbers pale so much in the playoffs compared to what they are in the regular season?
At the end of the day, the sample size is still small. And, I mean, how many really high-stakes games has he played in a single elimination setting? But you look at the mindset, and I'm not going to try to psychoanalyze him, but I know that Joe Burrow particularly, and Patrick Mahomes also falls into this category, but Burrow almost goes from superhero to higher level, super-duper hero in the postseason. He embraces it. He relishes it. He steps up to that moment. We've seen guys like Kirk Cousins who kind of flatten out in the postseason. Mm. There's something about that win-or-go-home pressure that can have an impact on a guy.
Flacco was better in those situations than the regular season. And Eli Manning,
who?
Mike, to your point. Flacco and Manning were great in those situations.
Exactly. Yeah, so I think that's very real. And you remember Barry Bonds when he was with the Pirates?
Yes, unfortunately.
It changes. Things can change in the postseason. And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's the challenge. And that's going to be the problem and the issue for the Ravens this year. Just like when the Bengals were making the playoffs every year and they kept losing and losing and losing, the pressure gets greater and greater. Now, at least the Ravens won last year in the divisional round, but every year they don't get to the Super Bowl, it's going to get louder. Yeah, but you can't get to the Super Bowl. And I think it makes it harder to bust through that ceiling the louder the noise gets. So it's very fleeting. Your chances to pursue legacy, history, excellence, etc., comes around once a year, and you don't have a whole lot of time. It's 3 hours on a Sunday afternoon or Saturday night that you have to try to craft it your way. And the other team's trying to do the same damn thing.
Mike, your theory on how Tomlin talked about Deontay Johnson yesterday. In one breath, he said, hey, the Ravens have the worst pass defense in the league, but it's actually really good. We hear him do that every Tuesday when he tries to make a bad element of a team or a bad team, period, better than it is. And then he gets asked about Deontay, and he's like, basically, the guy stinks. So why do you think he did that, Mike?
Well, we want volunteers, not hostages, but if you don't volunteer to be here, screw you. I think that's just Tomlin being Tomlin. That's my guess. I don't know that, but hell, he came out and took a shot at the guy. He's not worried about the guy. He's not afraid of the guy. He's not bashful about stirring the guy up. And I have a feeling based upon his years with Deontay Johnson, he knows that that's exactly the comment to make to get under his skin in a bad way, to throw him off, to keep him from coming in and having a big game, or he's just not concerned about Deontay Johnson really doing much of anything based upon what they've seen on film so far.
Mike, right now, Mike Tomlin, according to at least some of these betting sites, is the favorite at the halfway marker thereabouts to win Coach of the Year. What do you think he would actually have to do these last nine games to get that honor?
I think he needs to win the division to be in the running for it. And he also is going to have to overcome Dan Quinn. If the Commanders win the NFC East, Quinn's going to be the favorite. I don't like Coach of the Year. And I say that even though I hold one of the votes. I don't like how it's configured. Here's why. It's not really Coach of the Year. It's Coach of the Team that was the biggest surprise of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Look back historically. Which team most exceeds expectations going into the season? That team, okay, that team's coach is the Coach of the Year. Has nothing to do with X's and O's. It has nothing to do with motivation. It has nothing to do. I mean, Tomlin's never won the damn thing. Andy Reid's won it one time in 2002 when he was with the Eagles. Bill Belichick's won it three times, and one of the years he won it's because they went 16-0.
Mike Knoll won it zero times.
Not,
how about that? Chuck Knoll, zero Coach of the Year awards.
Yeah. So, I mean, Dan Campbell would be my choice right now because I think he's got the perfect touch and he's getting his team in position to be the one seed. But if Tomlin would take the Steelers to the one seed, I'd have to seriously think about it. And also, we pick three now, too. It used to be one and only one for all of the awards, which was all or nothing, and it was hard to – and guys would split votes. We get to put three on the list, and Dan Campbell, Mike Tomlin, and somebody else would be on my list right now.
Your midweek lean on this game, Steelers or Ravens?
You know, flip a coin, sit back, wait for something that's like 16 to 13. But it's in Pittsburgh. I'm probably leaning Steelers. You know, I have a very highly specific and scientific method for picking games. It's very specific. It requires a lot of work. It requires a lot of deliberation. It consists of me sitting down in this spot at some point between 11 o'clock tonight and 10 a.m. tomorrow for 5 minutes, looking at all the games and going with the first word that comes into my head. And I'm actually doing well this year with that, so I'm not changing it. So at some point late tonight or early tomorrow, I'll just look at that game and a score will come into my head. I have a feeling it's going to be 16-13 Steelers, though, because it just did.
Mike
it just
Florio.
Did. There it is, 16-13 Steelers.
Pro Football Talk. We'll talk again next week. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.